all this and get right to the meat and potatoes. All right, we're getting better.
Word.
Right.
All right, we'll do this from the front stairs. Let's go.
All right, so I'm going to restart and welcome everybody to the Leans Edutainment Podcast, brought to you by Barber Time, Lifted Productions, Brand Nation, and Chubby Chickpea. We got a special guest today, Jay Kinzer of EXP, The Expendables, Haverhill, Mass. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Hopefully, it's get over these technical difficulties. That's the only thing I'm mad about. Life is good otherwise, though.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to bring you on here. Like I said, I reintroduce this because you've been working really hard with, your solo projects, the group. We got the show this Saturday with Lord Finesse and the Shaskeen. And yeah, I figured it was time. You've been putting in the work and it's been paying off. So
Word.
we're here. But I want to take people, generally when I do these, I want to take people back. And you're from Haverhill, Massachusetts, Helltown, Haverhill. If you don't know, if you're not from Mass, you'll say that. But like I said, I grew up in Georgetown, Mass. Spent a lot of time in Haverhill. Let's talk about that experience a little bit going back there. What was that like growing up in Haverhill?
Growing up in Haverhill's cool, man. I never had a problem with it. We like to party, we like to fight. That's what Haverhill's really known for. But it ain't bad. It's actually a nice city, and we close enough to Boston. We close enough to the beach and everything, man. I like Haverhill, man. It's my spot. Shout out to everyone in Haverhill, 978.
Yeah. You said you grew up on Jermaine Ave, correct?
Yes, that is the main house. That's the name of the new album I just dropped. We lived there for about 10 years from like third grade through high school. And man, we had some wild ass parties over there. We had a lot of good times. That's where I discovered hip hop. Shout out to my older brother who put me on to Wu-Tang and Biggie and all that in the mid late 90s. That's where I learned my game from. So I wanted to name the album Jermaine Ave.
Yeah. And that's like what? That's like Jermaine Ave, that's like off of 125 right there, kinda like
Yep.
right before Academy, right before like as you're leaving Bradford, right before like Academy Lanes and all
Yeah.
that shit before you hit Cedardale.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Right near Hunkin Middle School.
Yeah, I know that area quite well. If you keep going down, father, my father had a business, a moving business on Ward Hill when I was a kid.
Yep.
And spent a lot of my childhood going there and whatnot, so I'm very familiar with that area. Haverhill kind of has a bad rap a little bit. You know what I mean? Growing up, it had a bad rap. Like the surrounding towns, it was like Haverhill's a little, dicey. You know what I mean? It was like, shit goes down in Haverhill. I mean, is that true? I mean, how growing up there like that? Shit crazy as they said it was?
I mean, not really. It all depends on who you hang out with and where you hang out. I mean, I got in my fair share of trouble, but I never felt scared walking around in Haverhill ever. So it's actually a nice town with not that much crime. But we like to throw hands, though. That is what Haverhill's known for.
I used to get my early days as a kid living in southern New Hampshire, Plaistow. My boys lived in Plaistow, which touches the border of Haverhill. We get all weed in Haverhill.
Yep.
8th Ave, 7th Ave, 6th Ave. You can find weed any time of the day down there, man.
Yeah, we still flooded with green over here too, so
Well,
we'll be smoking.
wasn't that green back then, man. It was pretty brown and full of seeds, and
Yeah.
sometimes it smelled like ammonia, you know.
We came a long way from that Helltown Brown stuff we used to smoke, man. I used to walk miles just to get a dime bag of swag to
Yep.
smoke it out of an empty beer can. And now, like, you just walk up to the dispensary, get your bag. Well, some people do. I don't fuck with that shit.
Overpriced.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think this. Go ahead.
And you're taking away from the people that have been holding you down for the last 2 decades. We've been the ones saying that weed isn't bad. This shit shouldn't be illegal. We've been the ones risking our ass to get everyone high this whole time, and they're going to run right to the dispensaries. I don't know. It's kind of funny to me, but I don't really get into that too much.
till now.
Yeah. Well, now that you say it, now that you bring it up.
Well, shout out all the people selling weed in Haverhill. You kept me high for a very long time. My connects back in the day when I used to dabble, all from Haverhill.
I used it's to a get good town though.
I used to have, I had a fake ID at 16 years old, right? 16 years old, I had a fake because of my size to get away with it. Got it down in Providence. We used to, but New Hampshire didn't sell the 40 ounces. So I'd have to go to Haverhill to get the 40 ounces. You remember Como's Liquors? Is that still there? Como's Liquors?
Yo, they just got closed down like a month or two ago for selling to minors.
Damn.
Wow. It was like, yeah, literally. It's right down the street. That was my spot within walking distance. And now they shut down. So now I got to go down to Bradford Liquors down by Bradford Square. It ain't too bad, but yeah, they closed down Como's, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was using a fake, but they had the St. Ides special brews there, and they had the St. Ides and all that stuff, which you couldn't get anywhere in New Hampshire, so it was like 40 ounces for days in Haverhill. And, yeah,
we used to drink the 40s.
Yeah, what's your favorite 40 ounce?
Old English.
Yeah.
OE 40s all day, man. That, and we drink the Bud Ice bottles. We get real drunk off them. Yeah. Them shits were strong.
Yeah, because, you know, 40, you know, 40 and a 40 and a blunt, you know what I mean? You're nice, and it's not that expensive. And
facts.
No, and then there was like, what, Paré Liquors? Is that was in Lafayette Square, right? Is that Paré Liquors over there? We used to get through the booze because we get the hard stuff over there.
Oh, I know all the spots for booze in Haverhill. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to chill these days. I ain't drinking as much as I used to.
Really? Because I would have been surprised the other night at the Slane show.
Yo. Yeah, man. That was a fun time, though. Yeah, I was a little bit lit off.
Little?
I was lit off several things. The booze, the least of them.
Yeah.
But I like to have fun once in a while.
No, man. You know, I mean, if it's once in a while. For me, it wasn't once in a while. But that's a different story. We won't go there. But also wanted to talk about, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, man, totally lost it. I was going to say something cool about Haverhill, shocker. But Builder 19, Mecca. You know what I mean? I grew up buying all that shit there because we didn't have much money. And I lived in, you know, shit kind of hit the fan. So, like, spent a lot of time at that Friendly's Kids Meal right over there, right over the Groveland Bridge there and the Building 19. We used to just make that trip all the freaking time. Shout out all the homeless, man. There used to be a lot of homeless over there. You know, I didn't understand it as a kid, but they used to scare the shit out of me. I understand it more now. But Haverhill had a lot of shelters and was looking out for a lot of people, so I got to give them credit there, too. Not a lot of towns would do that shit, you know. But, yeah, your boy Heavy, he's like mad rugs. Yeah, Building 19, best rugs. But enough about
that. We were poor too, but I never shopped at Building 19. I was like, nah, like I'll wear nothing. I'll wear these old clothes before going to Building 19, man.
I didn't buy clothes at Building 19. We bought like rugs and like household items. We weren't getting food there. You know? That was my mom's thing. She's like, you don't get the food at Building 19. But nah. And then did someone say the Kmart names? Yep, the Kmart names. I remember it was the Zales, I think, back in the day.
I don't even know, man.
Yeah. And then, like I said, I moved in with my grandmother on Viewpoint on the Bradford Bridge, which was a really nice place. Once they made it into apartments, it used to be like a big old factory. But I lived up in there. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Did you spend time drinking at River City Billiards?
I did not really. I tried to get in before I was legal when I was like 20, and they kicked me out a couple times. And then they got shut down like right as I turned 21. They shut down, actually. It was a lot of fights, a lot of bar brawls back then. This was probably 05, 06 when they shut down, I think.
Yeah. My group turned 21, and they were like the spot to go to because, like I said, we're in Southern New Hampshire. So we would go to the River City Billiards and the Lastin Room and all that shit over there and tear shit up. Why so many fights and stabbings in Haverhill?
Man, I don't know. I just like to have fun. talk to people, see what's up with the girls. I never started no fights, man.
But
I got into a couple, but yeah, I don't know, man. I think we trying to show that we hard. We're right up the street from Lawrence. They go hard over there. I don't know. We like to fight. It's just, it's in our blood, really, like from the playground.
Literally, because I've come close to getting some pretty good fights at Pilgrim Lane. So that was at a pretty young age.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, moving forward. So older brother introduces you to hip hop. Is that correct?
Yeah. Shout out to my brother Billy. He just turned 40 last week.
Damn. So he's like a little younger than me.
Yeah.
So what he was like, check out what? What was he playing for you?
The first thing, it was Biggie Ready to Die. And it was probably a year or two after it came out, maybe a year and a half. And he's like, yo, you have to listen to this. Mm-hmm. And it just blew my mind. I was sitting down writing down all the lyrics and shit. And mostly Biggie and Wu-Tang back then. Those were my two biggest influences that he directly put me onto.
Yeah, that's great influence to get involved.
Yeah,
in.
Facts.
And then from there, what else? Like, what other music really inspired you?
See, back then I was listening to a lot of rock. I do like a lot of rock still. I'm probably 80% hip hop now, but I do like a lot of rock.
What kind of rock were you listening to? Because I'm a rock
stuff
head.
I listen to, like stuff like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Foo Fighters, Nirvana. Even some of the old stuff like Tom Petty, Led Zeppelin, The Who, all that stuff influenced me, really. So you could tell some of my music has a rock vibe, and I choose a lot of rock-inspired beats because of that.
That's dope, man. You know, like I said, I'm from a classic rock era as well. Grew up listening to all that before hip-hop. I didn't get involved into hip-hop until like 91, 92, and I was like 12 years old. So everything before that is all rock, classic, singer-songwriter.
Yep.
You know, in Georgetown, Mass, when I was next to Haverhill, no one was really listening to hip-hop, if you can believe that, growing up. It was all rock. It was Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, all these, like, big popular 80s bands. You know, no one was listening to hip-hop. So, it, like, 92, it just switched, you know.
Yep.
It was, and
so,
for me,
As far as hip-hop, though, man, when Eminem came out, man, obviously that shit was crazy. That shit blew my mind. I was like, what the fuck am I listening to? Then stuff like The Lox, Jay-Z, Nas, Mobb Deep was one of my biggest influences. Some of the West Coast stuff like Dre, Snoop, N.W.A. All that stuff is the stuff I came up on.
So what made you want to rap?
Man, I don't even know. One day, I just picked up a pen and I wrote a song about my 8th grade basketball team at Hunkin. That team, shout out to the champs, undefeated that year. I mean, I wasn't one of the good players. I wasn't one of the good players, but I wrote a rap about the team in like early 99, like winter 99. And it just took off from there. I don't know what really made me start it, but it was that basketball rap was the first one.
Basketball rap, I love it.
Yep.
So then you're rapping. When do you form EXP, the Expendables?
So I met up with Heavy. Heavy was the first one I was rapping with. Shout out to Heavy and my dude Brizza from Haverhill. We were rapping together in like 02, 03 when we was in high school. And then me and Heavy kept going. Brizza kind of fell out of touch. And me and Heavy were working on music in like 08, 09. And then Heavy was working with Big Sha, shout out to Sha. And then we had this big meeting. It was like 8 or 10 of us back then, maybe late 09, early 10. And we're like, yo, let's just make this super group. It was more of a collective than a group, really. So it was 10 of us at first. Sha brought in his dude, Dirt Russell. G.I. Jones was in jail at the time. So he got out and joined us. My old roommate, Self Khan, who since left the group. AWOL from Tampa Bay. He was up here. He moved back to Tampa Bay, left the group. But I'd say we started EXP in about 09, 010.
Right. And you guys started making mixtapes. And when did you guys you guys reached out to me to start doing shows. I'm trying to think. What was the first show we
did? I remember.
What was the first show we did?
It was the Cormega show. Hmm. He was doing the Realness tour. I think summer 2010, I want to say.
Wow, that long ago, huh? Jesus.
Yeah, we go back 10 or 11 years from that first show. That was a dope show, man. We were all hype as fuck. That was the first any like legitimate show at all any of us really done.
Right. You know, and then from there, you know, we did, you know, La Cosa Nostra, I think, You God.
Yep.
Slain, yep. Freeway, Matt, yep. Matt Child, Planet Asia. Was the yep. Slain show, is that the Slain Action Bronson show that we did?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that shit was crazy. That was one of the best shows I ever been to or performed at, everything.
Right.
Was that the night that Action slammed someone on the stage?
No, that was a different
No,
night.
It wasn't, right?
No, that was when Action played later with Big Crit.
Okay,
that was an XXL showcase.
Okay,
it wasn't really a showcase. Yeah. It was Big Crit and Action Bronson. And I think a couple people opened up. I forget who. I think Natural opened up. Dutch maybe opened up. Dutch Rebel. I forget. But
yeah.
But that's when the body slam happened.
I was having a conversation with Lord knows who recently, and they were saying that's the show Action slam somebody, and I'm like, I don't think so. I mean, I might have been smoking a blunt in the parking lot for a minute and missed it, but so I was right. That wasn't the show.
Yeah.
But, so you know, that was a dope-ass show.
So we did all those shows, you know, and you guys put out a bunch of mixtapes, and then kind of EXP kind of took a pause, it seems like. I didn't see you guys for a minute. What happened?
What happened was I got arrested.
Ah.
That's what happened. I got arrested for a DUI in possession, leaving a wedding, summer of 14. And I've always kind of been the one to get everyone together, throw down some of the money, kind of be the leader of this. And then once I got arrested, I had no money and no drive to really actively do music. And a bunch of shit happened. Dirt Russell got a DUI the week before. We went back-to-back weekends where me and him got DUIs. So then a group of seven of us was down to one driver.
Yeah. And you guys were recording in Lowell with, right?
Yeah.
Wonka's Wonka with...
Yes. Bob Nash.
Bob Nash, I'm sorry. Bob Nash, excellent engineer. So you guys couldn't get to the studio from Haverhill, pretty much.
Yes. Big shout-out to Bob Nash, man. My engineer. He does a lot of executive producing for me and stuff. That dude's a wizard. Like, I don't know where I'd be without him right now. Big shout out to Bob Nash. He's a huge part of any success that I've had. So I want to start there. And actually, his studio got flooded around the same time. His studio got flooded while he was on vacation. So he didn't get back for like a week or something, and the place was completely destroyed. It took a year, year and a half to get it back up and running. So between a couple of us getting in trouble, the studio getting flooded, we had some bad luck there. And I mean, a lot of it was our own fault, but so yeah, we had a couple years where we weren't really as active there, and shame on us, man, because we ain't never going to get that time back.
Yeah. Well, you know, shit happens, man, you know, two steps forward, one step back, same thing, or one
something
step
like
forward,
that.
One step forward, five back, depending on the situation. But setbacks happen, but it's how you come back. And these guys did come back, luckily. You know, I remember seeing you guys. I think we got reactivated with the, was it the Lost Vaults mixtape you had dropped that? When was, is that the, what?
Yeah, it was the Lost Sessions mixtape.
Was that from,
we did
the,
that in,
from the flood? From the big flood and all that time?
We had some extras left over from then. We had a bunch of stuff just laying around that we never released. Yeah. So we threw some new stuff in there too, mixed in with the old stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone should go. That's on Dat Piff, the EXP Lost Sessions mixtape. Some cool joints on there.
Yeah. So that's when I kind of was like, I was like, oh, these guys are working again. And then we did the Mad Child Stevie Stone show, I believe. And then we ended up collaborating, and you guys, you know, we ended up collaborating on a marketing tip, working on the Full Circle album. Which was a great album. It was a great album. You mean you sent it to me, and I was like, "Yo, I think we can do something in that." And that, you know, that features Sean Price, Sick Nature, and of the Snow Goons, and who else is on that? Forgive me, I don't remember anybody.
Bug Out's on there.
Yep.
Jay Meezy.
Yep.
Lomel. Silly Grin did a lot of the production. DC the Midi Alien did a lot of the production. Mr. DL, shout out to my production team too. Archetype blessed us with that Sean Price beat, man. I got some of the best in-house producers that exist, period, man. Shout out to all them, man. They keep feeding me all these dope beats, and the songs practically write themselves, man. Yo, so huge shout out to my production team, man.
And then may I remind everybody that those people are all pretty much from New England.
You know, yeah. With exception yeah, they all my neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and the Sean Price single got a lot of love on the streaming sites. I mean, it got a good jump. You know, that was a dope track. And and I thought that was a great album, you know. And then from there,
Thank you.
I think from there, you know, we did the Mercury show.
Yep.
Mercury's at the Middle East. You guys opened up, and shortly after that, COVID shut everything down.
That's yeah, man. Yeah, we had a great time at the Mercury show. That was Thanksgiving Eve 2019 for the Full Circle album release, man. We had a great time. We killed it. Shout out to Headshots. They performed that night too. Shout out to Mercury, Sea Lance. That was a good time.
Yeah. Now, from here, you've gone solo. Now you've been working on your solo stuff.
Yep.
You know, the next project you worked on was 11 because there was 11 songs, correct?
And it was that's my 11th project too.
Oh, okay. It's a doubleheader. What was the inspiration?
And
go ahead.
It all started too. I took a sample from Spinal Tap. Like we need more volume. Turned it up to 11. And that was one of the first songs I worked on. And then I realized it was my 11th project. So from there, I had it be 11 tracks, and then we actually dropped it on 11-11 as well.
Yep. Yep, and that one featured Right Hook, Archetype, Reef the Lost Cause, Weapon ESP, and then all those producers pretty much you just named.
Rusty Jux.
Oh, yep, Rusty Jux is on that. Yep, right.
Yeah, man, that was a big album for me, doing songs with some heavy hitters, man. That was a big album. Thank you for hooking up some of them contacts, too.
Yeah, definitely. And so what was it like at that point? Like, how do you feel about going from working with a group, you know, to now you're solo? What's different to you about that process?
The plan was always to do group and solo stuff, always.
Right.
I've always kind of been more of a solo artist. I've done 6 solo projects in my lifetime, and I like letting people know who I am, letting them know what I've been through, and hopefully they relate to it. It's a little bit easier to do that as a solo artist than it is to do in a group. Sometimes right. Those concepts and groups and stuff can be tough. We still do concept songs with the group, but I really get into my life, how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, the anxiety I go through, overcoming everything. So that's more solo material and content. So I like to do both, though. But the plan was always to do both, but I want to step up as a solo artist these past couple of years just because COVID hit and we weren't doing shows. I said, fuck it. Like, let's go.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you talk about anxiety a lot. I hear it in your records and overcoming the struggle. What are we talking about here? Why? How is the anxiety affecting you? Why do you have anxiety and what are you overcoming?
Well, if we want to get into it, get me on the couch, Dr. Leeds. I don't know. I grew up in a broken home. My parents didn't always get along. A lot of fighting. A lot of drinking in my family in general. Man, in Haverhill, we was drinking them 40 ounces at 13 years old, man. We were smoking blunts at 13 years old. So I always did a good job of keeping it in check for the most part, but just years of partying, drinking, man. I don't know, man. I think your anxiety comes back from when you're not doing the right things. So when I ain't living right, the anxiety pops up, man. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it better than that.
No, I feel you. I mean, I suffer from anxiety and all this stuff. You also talk about, you know, you really put an emphasis on really working hard at your craft. That's another common theme in the music.
Yep.
Let's talk about the work and the dedication that you put into this, because it's a lot.
Yeah, man. Thank you for noticing, man. So, like you said, we weren't doing as much music. This is summer 2017, and I just had an epiphany, man. I didn't want to look back with regret. I don't want to look back in 20 years and say, what if I worked harder? What if I did this or that? It literally petrifies me. That thought of that petrifies me. So I just said, fuck it. Like, just go, go, go. Like, there's a lot of better rappers out there, but there ain't many that are going to work as hard. And people relate to that. People notice it. You can drop a dope verse, but that don't mean nothing if you ain't working hard behind it. Like, you know what I mean?
And let's talk about what's included in the workload. Like, what is your day? What does your week look like? What does it look like? Let's talk about what the work actually is.
So I work at a pizza restaurant during the days. I do pizza deliveries. Which and one? Then after that, I work at Hilldale.
Oh, dope. Yeah.
Right by Lafayette Square. Best calzone in the town. Come down to Hilldale, get a calzone. So I do that, and I do a little bit of side hustle too. But the music, man, it's a lot to it now, man. It ain't just writing a song. It's talking to producers, writing the song, recording the song, mixing and mastering. Then it's you need single artwork. You need videos. You need album artwork. You need merchandise. You need to try to book shows. There's a lot that goes into it. Talking to all other artists, networking. So it's not just write a song and I'm good. And all that stuff costs money, man. So I needed to save for a couple of years after I got arrested, save so I had enough money on the back end where I really could invest going forward.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot that goes into it, man.
Yeah, and a lot of rappers don't understand that. And you know, especially if you're an independent artist, you know, you really got to give it your all in the beginning, man. And I give you a lot of credit for doing that. I said the same thing to myself. I said, listen, if I do this 100% and I fail, then I'm okay with that. But if I do it anything less than 100%, I'll regret it, you know? And that's pretty much the way I've been working ever since. That was 20 years ago. But so I understand you,
yeah,
that mentality, you know, and foot on the gas, brother, you know, and you've built up some good momentum and you dropped the Jermaine Ave album shortly. I mean, what was the time frame between Jermaine Ave and 11? It was short, right? It was like 5 months, maybe.
Yeah. I dropped the first single like 4 or 5 months after we dropped the Savage Land single with Heavy, yeah, Term and DJ Deadeye,
yeah,
like 4.5, 5 months after 11. I was already working on Jermaine Ave while we were dealing with the rollout for 11. So I already had that half in the bag that summer. You know what I mean? So it wasn't hard to finish the album that was already half done. And nowadays you need quality and quantity. These fans are fickle, man. They don't want to see you drop something dope and 2 years later they see you again. You got to always, and a lot of this is coming from you, man. You taught me a lot of this stuff too. So content, content, content. So I figure I got the content, which is why wait.
Absolutely. Yeah, because my buddy was telling me the other day, like, he was reading something where the guy was like, nobody's waiting for your music. Just drop it.
Yep.
Just drop it. No one's waiting it. No one's sitting here going, I want this new Jay Kinzer or this new Leeds or this new whatever to come out. They just want to see it out and cop it. You know what I mean? No one's sitting there waiting. You know, you have to do it. You have to
give
it to people. And that's what you've been doing. And, you know, and that's paid off because, again, you know, you just dropped another single, Scratch the Surface, with Snow Goons. I mean,
they saw
your hustle. They must have saw your hustle, heard the music, and decided they wanted to work with you. How did that collab happen?
Yeah, shout out to Snow Goons, man. So in 2018, when I dropped Opinionated Facts, that was really the first album back on this whole run in 2018. I did a video with Rex, Silly Grin, and DJ Deadeye. And we did the video with Mr. DL, and DJ Illegal actually shared it on his live cast. And that gave the song a lot of momentum. So ever since then, they kind of been sharing our stuff. And then I reached out to Sick Nature a little after that for the EXP album for a verse. So then we did the song. He did the beat too. So we did the Sacrifice song there.
Dope.
So I built up a little bit of a rapport with them through that. And then recently, I bought a t-shirt from them, you know, I'm just like supporting. And then DJ Legal hit me up like, yo, you want to be on our first of the month single series? And I'm like, hell yeah, I do. Let's work. So Illegal sent me a couple beats. He sent me the Scratch the Surface beat. I started writing immediately. And I didn't know when it was going to come out in comparison to the album. It just so happened that they dropped within a week of each other, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah. That's a good, great accomplishment. You know, that's the right,
hell yeah,
the right direction, man. You know, it's going,
yeah, man.
Your career is going in the right direction And it's because of the work and the consistency and the music. It's doing that, you know. And, you know, it's great to see, man, you know, especially from a Haverhill dude. You know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell town. So where's your head at now these days? Where are you thinking, like, what's the next move?
Next move, start working on we're going to work on a new EXP project exclusively produced by Mr. DL. Oh, it's been a little delayed. It's been a little delayed because I've been working so hard on my solo stuff. Yeah. It's been a little delayed, but that's next on the plate. Hopefully we'll start really working on that this month. And right. Then I'm going to start writing the next solo joint, hopefully out spring 2022.
And that's where Mr. DL, you guys have a good relationship with him besides being a producer. He's directed all your videos, correct?
Yeah, all of them. We did a couple way back in the day that wasn't him, but since he's done our last like 15 videos. So he's a good friend, man. We go up there, we record with him. Dirt Russell's in his comedy series, the Weekend Warriors. So big shout out to Mr. DL.
Perfect.
First Cousin Larry.
Dirt Russell on Weekend Warriors is the perfect fit, in my opinion.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's word, man. And, you know, we got, like I said, I just want to remind everybody, we got the show here. Lord Finesse, yes. Shaskeen. How do you feel about getting back on stage this Saturday?
I'm super hyped for this show, bro. Yeah. This is like a double album release for 11 and Jermaine Ave. We did a couple little shows in Haverhill the past couple months at Crispy Clean Kicks.
Where was the venue in Haverhill?
On River Street. It's a little sneaker store at the bottom of River Street. Hero the MC was doing it. The Bars Over Bars. It's like a new sneaker store.
Oh, okay, cool. I was like, I didn't hear of it, but yeah. But back to Saturday.
Yeah.
You're hyped?
Yeah, man, so hyped. So we're opening up for Lord Finesse. And Acrobatic will be in the house performing. My dude, Undo. We got these new T-shirts. You want to come out, get a Jermaine Ave T-shirt.
Oh, boy.
We should have some CDs. I'm not sure if the new CDs will be in. They were supposed to be here today, but they got a little delayed. But, man, we're super hyped. I'm going to do some T-shirt giveaways, some CD giveaways. And you've seen us perform, usually in the back, kind of making sure everything's in place. But we like to bring energy, man. We bring a lot of energy. I'm bringing the team out. G.I. Jones, Shot Elemental, Dirt Russell, all going to be rocking with me. And we're going to bring a lot of energy. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, I bet. The fun part, I bet.
Yeah. Well, it's hip-hop, man. Too many people, they want to be hard all the time, and they forget that this is supposed to be about fun. So we go to these shows to connect with the audience, meet a lot of good people, and have some fun. That's what hip-hop's about, right? Unity and fun.
I totally agree. You know, the hip hop is supposed to be fun. The business side, not always fun. You know, but business no one ever said that business was going to be fun. You know, business is not always fun.
You asked about where my anxiety comes from. The business end of this brings me a lot of anxiety. Yeah. Uploading singles, and there's so much technical stuff that goes into it that even today, we almost didn't even have this because we couldn't get a connection. Like, stuff like that gives me anxiety. And, yo, shout out to my dude, Mark McKellar from Helltown Tees. He's the one that hooked it up with the T-shirts. Nice. He's a good dude. I want to shout him out, too.
Word. That's what's up. Well, shout out you and all the EXP, the Expendables, and Helltown in general. We're going to wrap this up. I just, like I said, remind everybody to show this Saturday. Club Shaskeen, Lord in Manchester, yep. Lord Finesse, Acrobatic, Jay Kinzer, a few more. And yeah, man, thanks for your time, bro. Always a pleasure.
And, all right. I want to plug my dude, Shot Elemental. Yep. He's dropping a new album, The Dichotomy, on September 24th. He's got a couple videos out for that. Shout out to Shy. Just want to shout out all of my EXP family, Heavy, G.I., Dirt Russell, my dude Off Mic, everybody, man.
How about, are we shouting out Bill? Where's Bill? Bill didn't get a shout out?
Yeah, we already, he got enough time. We already talked about my brother. No, Big Bill gets a shout out. Big Bill and Little Bill.
Is it, yeah, brother's Bill, dad's Bill, right?
Yep.
Shout out the Bills.
Shout out to the Bills. Those are my homies, man.
Word. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Leeds Edutainment Podcast, brought to you by Barber Time, Lifted Productions, Brand Nation Media, Chubby Chickpea, and we were with New England's own Jay Kinzer. Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, word. Peace out.
Peace.